is Kelman on Cliff Central.
All right, so it's about a year and a half ago, I do the voice on V Entertainment on Vuzu, and all of a sudden, every day, there's more and more stories about this guy called Okemelum Cool Cat. And I go to the content producer of V Entertainment, Mangi Mbeleni, who's going to be with us on the other side of five for the Gentleman's Roundtable. And I'm like, dude, we're speaking about this guy a lot. Like, what's the story here? And he says to me, this guy is massive. He's going to blow up. He is big. He is next level cool. And here we sit. And now you are this regular fixture. Okemelum Cool Cat.
Hey, what's going on? I didn't know I was the regular fixture.
But you must start becoming aware that people are starting to know more and more about you and starting to become more interested in you.
I've been at it since like 2008, and unfortunately, we've been bigger, like in Cape Town and overseas, than in Joburg. So Joburg is only catching up now. Well, Joburg is only catching up. Is only catching up 3 years later.
This is the thing, because I get press releases about you from all over the world. Because we have a lot of discussions around this on the show. Here's this guy, Okemelum Cool Cat, who's bigger overseas than what he is here. And personally, for you, what does that feel like?
I feel conflicted, you know, because I make music for South African people, but the global market is always like, wow, actually, we didn't know there were rappers that could think like this or articulate stuff like this, or you know, and it kind of brings them in. It's kind of like a window into the country also, you know.
But this is what you as an artist are unbelievable at, is articulating your human experience.
Exactly.
Because that's what artistry is. It's being able to put lyrics and words and a vibe to what people feel.
Exactly.
So this kid, Smiso Zwane, was he like just really good at reading the other kids on the playground? Or like, what was the deal?
My thing?
Yeah, you as a kid.
My thing, as a kid, I think the one thing I really did best at was partying. Like, I started partying when I was like 14.
Really?
Yeah, like proper. Like, I used to go to day clubs in Durban. Like, it's called a Madney, from 12 to 5, 6. But we won't be drinking. It'll be like Clementines and Apple Munch or whatever. But I was dancing.
Yeah.
So I needed to be there. And my whole experience at school was telling people like how crazy my weekend was.
Really?
So I was always that guy, like the weekend warrior, you know?
So you must have been really cool then. But
I wasn't. It's actually crazy. I was the best dancer at school. One of the good looking guys. But I didn't have the nice clothes as such. But like, I had friends I could borrow clothes from. So for CV's day, I would kill. And the dance floor would kill the stage. I'll be on stage, but like throughout the year, I always managed to be in the shadow somehow. I don't know how I managed to do that.
So that 14-year-old kid, when he thought about his future, what did he foresee?
I was actually writing songs then, but I didn't think. But I wanted, because I always been drawing and dancing like since I was 6, 8.
And that's the foundation of the artistry.
Yeah, pretty much. And all the schools I went to didn't offer art, so it was always like a thing that I'm going to do later. And like, people know I draw and I dance, like, and it kind of makes me cool, but I'm not like a popular guy per se, you know what I mean?
Take me into the drawing thing, because this I find fascinating. Like artists and that kind of thing, that paint or that draw. It's the notion of taking a blank piece of paper, picking up a brush or a pen or a pencil, whatever it is, and putting something onto that piece of paper. And when you step away and look at it like that, it's quite something to take a blank canvas and make it look like something.
Exactly.
And that's the basis of sort of you as an artist.
Yeah.
So were you just that kid that took, I don't know, the coloring in thing at Spur more seriously?
I think grade 2, because I used to live with my cousin, Umzwandile, RIP. Umzwandile put me on to this like technique, kind of like a technique, because he used to draw, and I was always bothering him. It was like maybe 4 years older than me. So he put me onto this. I don't know if a lot of people actually started drawing like that. Like you do a U.
Yeah.
And then you do an afro.
Jeez, I've never done this before. Let me do it real quick. Can I do it on the piece of paper? Yeah, you want to do it for me?
Yeah.
I'm going to auction this off on eBay for millions. We give him a pen. Okay, so I'm going to describe here. I got a blank piece of paper.
Yep. And then you start with a U.
Yeah.
that time, well, I'm in grade two, so my U is like this.
Yeah.
and then you do like an afro. Now it's an afro.
Okay.
And then you have a face. And then this guy is muscular, so he's got to have like three.
So it's all in circles.
Yeah, everything is kind of like maybe the pen won't leave the page kind of thing.
Okay, so wow. Like,
you know?
And so this drawing thing starts to play a role. And then what kind of dancing?
Kind of dancing. The dancing was always, I don't know, like Spantula. Spantula was the first one because I used to go visit my cousins. M section Umlazi, and they like oldest cousin Ukayo, he had a like Pantula group that rehearsed at his house, so I was always that kid watching.
Dope.
And they taught me a couple of things, so I would go back to my section, which is P section,
yeah,
and then I would be killing weddings, and that time I'm like 6'7" because I'm coming with flavors from other sections. You know, yeah.
So, okay, so we're establishing here in this big interview with Okemelum Cool Cat that from a young age we knew this was going to happen. So we're up to about 14. Now, before we go on from 14, let's go to William real quick on 0861555189. Yo, what's up, William? I believe you've got a question for Okemelum Cool Cat.
Yo, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, bro?
I'm
on you, dude. Sure, Kaz.
No, I just want to ask, you know, with these Generation Y kids, you know, becoming rappers and stuff. I got a mate, so he wants to be a rapper, but he's not going to put any vernacular in his lines, you know?
Pardon?
What's your place in black guys who don't want to use their mother tongue language in the rap, you know?
Yeah. What's the question again, sorry?
Yeah, you want to just repeat that question real quick? I think I've got it, but just give it a go.
These rappers who don't want to add in some vernacular in the rap. I just want to use English.
Okay, cool. So, William, we're going to answer your question now. William's asking rappers that don't want to use vernac.
Yeah, man. A lot of people are just, like, scared to use their mother tongue. Like, just because of perception, like, for the longest time, it's always been, like, hip-hop is this American thing. So you have to kind of, like, put it out there in English. Or, like, you go to hip-hop shows in the hood and the MC is the guy with, like, the best American accent or whatever. And, like, that's one of the things I wanted to kill in the game. Just, like, let's do our own thing, you know?
And that's what you do. And ironically, that's why you're so big overseas, because you're so authentic. Okay.
Yes.
So let's get back. 14-year-old you, who's partying at Upper Storm in Durban, then finishes school, goes to college, still in Durbs.
I got a scholarship. Luckily, I got a scholarship like 2 years after matric. I was still dancing and shit was actually getting like haywire because I'm older now and I was, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Luckily I got a scholarship at Vega for Vega School of Communication. So I did like a year Imagination Lab, and that was just like an unlock, you know, the super unlock, like that.
When it's happening and you're unlocking yourself to this whole new world, is it comfortable or is it unsettling?
It was really, I think that's when I realized the kind of guy I was, because with the dancing, I clocked all the clubs. I knew all the bouncers. I knew all the bartenders. I could party with like $5 in my pocket all around Durban. Like, I'm talking like high, like in the burbs, and I'm talking like deep in the ghetto, like Point Road, which is like a hill, bro, for us, you know. I was known everywhere because I could dance, you know. So going to college, met up with other kids that go to other parties. Maybe they go to the same club, but they go on a Friday. I've clocked the Saturday. So, like, it's a new way. I'm looking at girls I've never hollered at, like, you know, different races. Now it's a new thing for me. So it was like I unlocked in terms of, like, mentally and also just, like, personality-wise. Like, you know, being a guy from Durban, like, just grew up in Mlazi. Now I'm going to parties in Mhlanga. I'm going to tilt on a Friday night instead of they playing like progressive house. I'm going to parties where they just play techno the whole night or drum and bass. You know what I mean? It was a new vibe all over.
But at no point are you fitting in with a specific group of people. You're always in your own lane.
I've never fitted in because I think I grew up staying with a lot of families. We didn't have our own house up until I was older. So I was always the guy on the outside, and I know how to act as the guy on the outside, and I know how to adapt, and I know, like,
Was there ever a time that you thought it was unfair that you always had to be the guy on the outside? Because sometimes when you're a kid, you just want to fit in.
No. I think I liked it. I like being the guy. Even in the movies, I like the guys on the outside. I didn't like the main guy or the baddest guy. I like the other guy. Maybe the friend was more interesting, but he dies off at some point.
Does that make it hard for people to get to know you?
I think it does make it hard for a lot of people to know me.
Yeah.
To get to know me, because they never know what's gauge.
They can't box you.
They can't, yeah. Which is dope. I like it.
Which you love.
I like it.
And actually, when you look at a lot of great stories of artists, it's kind of, you can tell from a young age that they were going to be like that because they were different and they were kind of in their own lane and super happy about that.
Yeah.
So then, okay, we're hanging out in Vega and Durban, and then we moved to Johannesburg. Had you been to Johannesburg before?
Never. A lot of people actually don't ever leave Durban.
Yeah.
People don't know this. Like, I've never been to Maritzburg. I've been past Maritzburg, but I've never been there, like, from Durban. And it's an hour away, you know?
People stay in their own space.
Yeah. Well, just like, I think people in KwaZulu-Natal don't travel as much, you know, as much as people from Joburg have probably been to Durban at some point in their life, you know. But yeah,
so you decide, why did you decide to move to Joburg?
It was crazy, actually. It was one of my homies, Sanele, who's also on Msoko Fontein.
Yeah,
I met him in college. He comes up to Joburg, and then his brother actually started the same thing. Like, he's a graphic designer, communications also. He's out here. They got two fridges. They got one fridge for booze, one fridge for
you're
food.
Like, that sounds like my kind of place. Yeah.
They're like, they're doing big things. They're like, they were staying in somewhere in the north, like Midrand or something like
okay.
that. So suddenly, they're staying in Sunny Hill. So suddenly, like, yo, man, maybe you need to come up. You need to come up here and check it out,
cause. Yeah.
That's like maybe another year after college. So it's like, we've got all these cool ideas. We know so much. We're online now. We're kind of global. We know what's going on overseas. Mm. We kind of with it. Like, we know the best graphic designers, the best, like, trend forecasters, or the best, like, culture guys in Durban. You know, like Neville Trickett, Garth Walker, Richard Hart. We want to be those guys, but we can see we're not going to be those guys in Durban.
Yeah, like, so. That space is, you got to create your own space.
Exactly.
And as this is happening, you're probably thinking, well, graphics and that is going to be my future.
Yeah, we're thinking graphics, but Sanele at the time is rapping, and I'm still dancing, and I'm still kind of like amazing people through dance.
Mm.
Even at college, I got like even more of a boost because I would dance, like I would do projects, like music projects, and then I would be the dancer in the project. And people would be like, whoa, we've actually never seen this in the world. And I was like, so if people have never seen this and it's from Mlazi and they're from Mhlanga, imagine what the world's gonna go crazy. Yeah.
So it's already an international outlet.
Exactly, yeah.
Then talk to me about the day that Dirty Paraffin is formed.
So fast forward. Sanele says, come through, I take a chance, my mom gives me a grand. I'm like, cool, we're crashing.
You're like, I used to do 5 rand in the clubs, I'll be fine.
Exactly.
With the grand. Yeah.
The grand is
I
nice.
Got two fridges, one with alcohol, one with food, I'm gonna be good. I'm en route.
But we kind of knew that we're gonna start from scratch, you know?
Which you seem to love.
Yeah,
I think you love it.
Yeah.
Love you don't even want things in life, you just wanna, yeah, okay.
It's the challenge, you know? So get to Joburg. We're staying with Sanele's older brother, Zamani. He's been here for the past 3 years, 4 years or so, crashing on his couch. Then me and Zamani, because like I'm a little bit older than Sanele, so me and Zamani just connect on this music tip. Like,
because
I grew up on house music and dance music in general and Kwaito. And he's like, Sanele and Zamani grew up on rap, but not just like the rap that I hated, not the New York rap. They were on like Peanut Butter Wolf, Madlib, Quasimodo, like MF Doom, Jay Dilla. So it's all this stuff I've never heard and I really liked, you know. So I got like a lot of influence from those days, like MF Doom, Madlib. And I was old enough to get it for what it is, you know what I mean? Not to go crazy over. So just get it for what it is. And I was like, yeah, actually, I get these guys. It's like they're speaking in my tongue, you know. Then we started this thing called Zuluoma Stereo. So it's me, Sanele, and Spicy on the beats. Then Sanele had to focus mainly on work. Then I went and did like Okay Madam Cool Cat by myself, but I wanted to drop a tape, so I got Spicy to do Daddy Paraffin with me as a band. So, yep, that's how it started.
And when you look back on those days now, what's your immediate feel towards those early days in Johannesburg?
Yeah, man, it was crazy. I think our whole thing, we're lucky because we kind of had the culture thing besides like the arts. We had the culture thing, like as I was saying when I was in college, we got onto streetwear. We started having relationship with cats in Tokyo and London through streetwear, through what we're doing. We're doing like a couple of photo shoots in Durban, met up with the fashion kids, Jamal Ngildana, Ravi Govender, and JR, who's known as Dr. Pachanga. So we met up with those kids. They're doing fashion. We like the art kids. We're doing photo shoots. We're interested in streetwear.
So you're putting the bricks in place.
Yeah,
but you don't know what the wall that you're building looks like. And even now you don't. But you know you're building something.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we got up to Joburg, just like moving around looking for stuff, we met up with Peep Show. Jack Gorton used to own this store called Peep Show. And they were selling toys, vinyl toys and sneakers. And we're really about that life, even, you know, from college. 2 months later, Sanele owns that store.
Wow.
And Zamani with this guy, Jack Gordon. I don't know what happens to the store. Then Nike threw as one of the brands that are putting stock at this retail store. Take Sanele and they're like, oh, we're gonna open our own premium store, which is like the Gallery on 4th in Melville. Then Sanele calls me, MK and Mome. Then we formed this like energy marketing team for Nike Sportswear South Africa. So that's how you got kids like wearing MX1s, MX90s, Air Force Ones. We basically did that. So while we're doing that, I was like, then I started making music from that whole thing, like Zulu Mastereo to Okay Madam Cool Cat to Daddy Paraffin. While we're doing the energy marketing for Nike, the music is coming through. So we always had like platforms. We're throwing our own parties called Jumbo Rumble.
And what's inspiring you in making that music? Yeah.
At that point, I won't lie, man. It was like meeting up with cats like Spook Matambo. Mm. We'd go to his shows and I remember before we got the job, the Nike job, I was selling shades outside Spook Matambo's show at Club 88 in Norwood. And we met up with him. He's like, yeah. Then we just had a chat and he was like, yeah. Like he was on the energy that we were on. Like he kind of picked it up. And when we got to the gallery, so whenever we'd have shows for Nike, we'd book Spook. Then from then, like he's like the first guy who recorded me like at work. He's like, yo, man, I think you got talent because he heard some of my raps. Then from then on, just like went crazy.
And at no point, it doesn't seem like you analyzing any of this and overthinking it at all. It's kind of just this very organic, free-flowing process.
Yeah, it's kind of like, but everything is so connected. Every time I look back, everything is connected. Like, because Spook also went to Vega, Joburg. And as much as we didn't know about him, but we knew some of his, like, classmates who were in the same year that we'd know from like booklets in Durban at school, you know? So it's like we'll talk about people and we connect somehow. So it's like it feels like we connected maybe in 2004, but we met in 2008.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Thinking back on everything that we've discussed on this whole story thus far is, and you thinking back on every word that you've said, there must be a part of it though for you that feels like something great is going to become of you, because the way you speak, I mean, we've all watched those documentaries of like a Jay-Z starting out, and the way you speak, there's a flavor of that in your story.
Sure.
But I don't know if you're aware of that.
I think now I've gotten to a point because I've met so many people and travel so much, and every time I travel I meet like similar kind of people, and it's like there's 10 of us. It feels like there's 100 of us in the world that are like kind of like what I am, you know, and I get to meet them all over the world. And some people, like, it's a crazy thing. Like 2 weeks ago, I was in London, and I met Yasin Bey, aka Mos Def.
Wow.
And we met up with him in Cape Town maybe 2 years ago. Just to meet, now to meet up by chance in London, like in Cape Town, he came to my show at the Assembly.
Yeah.
And he got on stage and he loved one of my tracks, Bob Up, and he rapped the whole track. That's like the first time we meet up. I was like blown away. So we meet up in London again at my show like two weeks ago. So just like those vibes, it's always like, oh man, like.
It feels right. Everything feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, we met even before, you know?
So how does that lend itself to what your sort of life outlook is?
What happens with that? Like, I've ended up having so many characters, like Future Mfana, OK Malum Cool Cat, International Pantula. Like, Future Mfana would be like the Holy Oxygen stuff. I feel like that stuff is supposed to drop in 2018 or 2020, but it dropped now. And a lot of people don't get it, and it makes sense. I know why, because it's Future Mfana.
But you don't care, and that's...
I do. I feel like it would be nice for those things to just like... Because in my head, I was like, 2015 is going to be like the futuristic, or 2014, but every year it's just like, no, man.
But what does success mean to you?
To me, right now, where I'm sitting, if I'm making more money on a monthly basis, and the brands...
But not compromising.
No, not compromising at all. And the brands are coming with like better deals than they're coming with now. Shout out to the brands.
Do you sometimes sit back in meetings with these brands and kind of sort of laugh at how they think you're going to play a role?
Put
you on a billboard.
We laugh about it all the time. Like, shout out to my agent, Jake. We laugh about this all the time, man.
Because they come in and they kind of just, they just want to use you.
Yeah, it's like,
So when Kanye is speaking about the fact that he doesn't do the deal with Nike because they don't get him and he rather goes with Adidas, you really must be able to connect with that on a level unlike other people
are. Yeah, proper. And like I said, we come from the brands. Like, we did energy marketing for Nike. So when another sneaker label is like, "Yo, no, we'll give you like two pairs a month. We just need you." It's like,
you're like, I want to design the pairs. I'm the person that you should be asking to make the pair.
Exactly.
Don't give it to me to wear. It's difficult. I mean, I thought I was going to walk into this and really track your story, but it's got so many offshoots and it's so multifaceted that I'll just ask you about the coolest day in the past 5 years.
Coolest day, man, in the past 5 years. I've had like my life is a movie, man. Like every day is crazy. But I'd say what I really miss, like, and what I didn't take serious, like hanging with my uncle and my grand, like maybe 5 years ago, the one day, and they were telling me things I need to do in life, and those things I still haven't gotten to. And I'm talking about like things that have to do with Isintu religion, like African religion, you know? Like, my uncle would tell me, "Yeah, no, last night your great grand came and she said da 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 da," and I'm like, "Yo, actually," that's like, for me now, looking back, is like the coolest, because like half the time, maybe my great great grand will come to me, but I wouldn't know who she is. But I was given that day, like, as like my uncle and my grand as catalysts, as like, you know, yo, this is what
to pass that on to you.
Yeah, this is what you're gonna need to do, and it's kind of clear, but I still haven't gotten around to it.
Who knows Smiso the best in the world?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Probably my mom, but my mom, I haven't been with my mom for a while. I think, I don't know. Actually, I've been living by myself so long. Because I spend more time by myself than with anyone.
Your take on that? Do you sometimes think, like, maybe I need more people involved here?
I have a son and a girlfriend. You know, I just moved in with them now.
Is that weird for you? It is, actually.
Because I just moved. It's like a house, and it's got a cottage outside. So I already have a studio there. And just like, now it's the first time where I'm finding a balance, like, oh, actually you shouldn't spend as much time in the studio as in the house, you know, with the kid.
Okay.
So now it's like the first time I'm trying to juggle like being a dad, like proper, not the dad over Instagram or the Christmas dad. You know? Now I'm there at home.
What's your take on fatherhood so far?
Yeah, it's the best. For me, it's the best thing ever, man. Like seeing, kind of like being able to raise someone and then kind of shape their future. Mm. So that's why, like, I would feel bad that, yo, man, I should be spending more time. He's six now, so I should know what he wants to do, or like try and help. Does he want to be a goalkeeper? That's the craziest thing to figure out. Like, if he likes soccer, but what position does he want to play? Does he want to be a goalkeeper? Should I keep egging him on to kick instead of catching it? But he wants to catch it. And I'm like, no, kick the ball. He's like, nah, I want to catch it. So it's like stuff like that. It's like, that's really exciting for me.
But what's great is that throughout it all, whether you're going through the trip from Durban to Johannesburg, whatever it is, your artistry is recording the story of your life.
Yeah.
Which to you must be a beautifully poetic thing.
Yeah.
To think that you can listen back to a song and it's this incredible articulation of where you were at that specific point in time.
Definitely.
So cool hanging out. Okay, Malum Cool Cat. I got to ask you real quick. I'm on Simfy last night. I'm just hanging out. And then they say, we recommend, and they recommended this. Talk to me about what this is.
Holy Oxygen.
What does that mean to you? It resonates at all? Do you know the guy behind that?
Yeah, Holy Oxygen is like this great project. It's these guys, Okay, Malum Cool Cat, actually Future Mfana from South Africa.
Yeah, Okay is quite a cool guy.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Besides the... Yeah, anyways.
Besides the whites. It's okay, we can talk about him.
He knows. And then Future Mfana, and then Sid Rim, and the Clonius from Vienna, Austria. So that project, I think it's like a nice marriage between...
It's okay, we're so cool you turned the lights out, yeah? It's okay, we got generators.
Just like the whole vibe in between Future Mfana being this like artist in like 2018 and... these jazz musicians from Vienna. It's quite a nice thing.
And then looking at this, or any project, anything, when I say, oh, look, here's your work. I mean, is it hard to get to the point where you can put it out for sort of the average person to just consume it? Is it hard to let it go and put it out there?
No, I'm actually, like, if it was up to me, I don't know. Last year, I probably released close to 50 tracks.
Dope.
Different collaborations. Holy Oxygen, actually, I wanted to tell you about Holy Oxygen. It's like just based on the whole thing of, I don't know if you understand, like, but African religion is always like under tradition or culture. So Holy Oxygen is that thing, just like, yo, this is a religion.
Because this is what you're grappling with at the moment. Exactly. So that's why the artistry reflects that.
Exactly.
Dude, just before we get out of here, I was very happy when they said that you were going to come on the show because you're a guy that's in demand. So I don't want to get in trouble and not speak about the Republic of Extra Cold.
Ooh, okay.
And bring it back. It's always weird. We've had this incredible chat. We've spoken about fatherhood. But it's going to get worse because then I'm going to ask you, so how do we keep up with you on Twitter? Because that's important. But we got the good stuff out the way. So now we can do the punt. Talk to me about Republic of Extra Cold.
We're on, I think it's the
27th of June. Yeah,
27th of June. It's going down at the embassy. Come through. It's gonna be wild. We've been working on a show. I think it's gonna be amazing, man. Come through.
Dope. And then keeping up with you all day, every day. Well, I would just listen to the guy's music, but there's other ways to do it.
Yeah, if you really want to stalk a O, you can check the O out on Insta. Okay, Malum Cool Cat across the board, Twitter, Insta, Facebook. I'm actually pushing this 100K Makassette mixtape. So when I hit 100K on all those channels or just one, I'm waiting with the mixtape. It's going to release.
Dope. And then final question. You know we're going to make a podcast of this. In addition to all your music, it'll be in iTunes. So when people search for you, it'll pop up. I'm going to take that podcast, get into my time machine, and go back to 14-year-old Smiso Zwane over in Durban club hopping. And I'm going to say, yo, dude, I know you got to get to the next club, but just take a listen to You in the Future real quick and tell me what you think. And 14-year-old you is going to think what?
I would be like, yo, you're better, that guy. I'd be like, ah, nah, They're bad.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't get it. Like, a lot of my friends, even now, still don't get my music.
Yeah.
But they're vibing with other people's vibes. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sometimes people have to be told something's cool, yeah, and then they think it's cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's my friend, actually. Yeah.
I know that guy. Okay, my little cool cat, such a pleasure, dude. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks.
This is Kelman on Cliff Central.